Certainly enjoyed Brother John's message tonight. Appreciate his effort in speaking to us. Extremely important subject, of course, and we sing that wonderful hymn, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And that's exactly true. It's nothing but the blood. The blood is what made the difference in the land of Egypt when God brought his people out of there. It's the blood that will make the difference at the end of time in the final judgment of the Lord. Tonight I'd like to speak to you on an aspect of God's love that I really have never spoken on before. Most of the time when we speak about the love of God, we speak about his love being everlasting and how we can never be separated from the love of God, and we speak about God's love for his children. And then oftentimes we speak about the love of God that we ought to, that's in our hearts, that we ought to have one for another, as the Bible teaches us how we should love one another. Christ said in John chapter 13 that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. But tonight I'd like to speak to you on the love of God from the standpoint of God's love for his Son. God the Father's love for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to begin with me tonight, I'd like to start in John Gospel chapter 3 and in verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. The Father loveth the Son. Surely as we read the life of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there can be no denial of that fact. When Christ was baptized, we find the Father speaking from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." In other words, he was saying, "This is my Son, and I love him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." On the Mountain of Transfiguration, we find the Father speaking again. When Peter spoke up and said, "It's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Christ, one for Moses, one for Elijah," the voice of God rang out saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." They were there to see, to observe, to be a witness. They were not there to talk. They were not there to build tabernacles. But they were there to see the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured between Moses and Elias. And so the Father's voice rang out, "This is my beloved Son." Here we find the Apostle John writing and saying, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." When Christ came into the world, he came to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Read over in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews in verse 7, where it says, "It is written in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I've come to do thy will, O God." It's written in the volume of the book that Christ came to the will of God. And coming to do the will of God, he was totally committed to do that which was pleasing to his Heavenly Father in glory. Every one of us tonight should have a desire to do the will of our Heavenly Father, every single one of us. And we all should be committed to that, to seeking out God's will, knowing God's will, applying God's will, doing the things that's in harmony with the will of God. But I can assure you, for 33 and a half years, the Lord Jesus Christ, all he said and all he did was in harmony with the will of his Heavenly Father. I just love the expression of our Lord in John 6, 38 and 39 when he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will. All he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." We mentioned this morning when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. Not my will, but thy will be done." The will of the Son, the will of the Father, was in perfect unity and harmony. It was written in the volume of the book, "It is written of me in the volume of the book, I've come to do thy will, O God." There was total and complete commitment. Here we find where John says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." You know, we find in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, of course, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And then John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, he speaks about, "In the beginning all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." We find that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, the heaven and the earth. And we find, "For the Father committed all things unto his hand." Why? Because the Father loveth the Son. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Matthew 11, 27, Christ said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son except the Father. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Saying basically the same thing. All things are delivered unto me by my Father. Here again, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. All things, the very management of the universe, is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that? As Christ spoke the world into existence, he is the master and the manager of all the universe. Perish the thought that you may ever have that God is not in total control. God is in total control of all things. He is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He's the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars. All the inhabitants of the earth are here as a result of the creation of God. He is the master and he is the manager of all the universe. Nothing has ever been out of control from the standpoint that God felt to be helpless or that things had gotten out of hand. Have you ever had anything get out of hand? You ever had a fire to get out of hand? You ever had anything to get away from, just get out of hand? Maybe the car got out of control. You ever been behind the steering wheel when the car got out of control? That's not a good feeling, is it? And it just teaches us from time to time just how little control we do have in things in this world. But I'm telling you, all things under the control of God. God is the master and God is the manager of the heaven and also the earth, because the Father loveth him and the Father hath given all things into his hand. All power has been given unto him. Matthew chapter 28, our Lord, just prior to giving the second gospel commission, tells his disciples, all power is given both in heaven and also in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll go with you all the way even unto the end of the world. Our Savior gave the disciples great encouragement when he said, all power is given to me both in heaven and in earth. Certainly the power is part of the all things that's been given into the hands of the Son. Why? Because the Father loveth the Son. When it comes to the providential dealings that Christ exercises with his people, certainly believe that Christ once again has all power and he has all wisdom. Read in the book of Colossians chapter 2 where it says, for all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are in Jesus Christ. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and also full of truth. See, when they saw the Son, they also saw the Father. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He laid aside his glory, but he did not lay aside his divine attributes. He still had the power to exercise them and did on many occasions. There's over 40 miracles recorded in the four Gospels. And so we find here where the Father had given all things in the hands of his Son for this reason, according to John, for the Father loveth the Son. Any question in your mind tonight, any doubt in your mind tonight that God the Father loved his Son? Any doubt that he loved his Son in such an extent, to such a degree, that nothing could ever hinder that or interrupt that or separate that love from the Son to the Father? Let's go to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, we read in verse 19 and 20, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things. And John 3:35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given him all things. Here we find where the Lord himself says, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Now, the context of this statement, you have to go back to the very beginning of this chapter. In John chapter 5, we made brief reference to it this morning. We have the pool of Bethesda, and we have an angel coming down a certain season and troubling the water. And we find the first person into the water would be healed. And there was the man on the bed, sick, been that way for a long time. And he came every year, every season. But he couldn't put himself in the water, and he had no man that would put him in there. So Christ healed him. Notice what he said up here in verse 8. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Jews didn't like Christ's healing on the Sabbath. The Lord made it very clear that on the Sabbath it was right to do good and not to do evil. It was right to heal and not to kill on the Sabbath. He said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for the man. And Jesus Christ said that he is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So Christ was in total control even on that day. So he healed on the Sabbath. And they didn't like the fact he healed on the Sabbath. They didn't like it to the point they couldn't even enjoy and rejoice that a man had been healed. Do you rejoice when you hear that somebody's been miraculously healed? Do you hear when somebody's been sick, now they're well? Maybe they've been feeling bad, but now they feel a lot better. Does that make you feel good? I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody that was sick, and then I finally felt good, and I got upset about it. But those Jews got upset that here's a man that was healed on the Sabbath day. They couldn't even rejoice. In fact, a miracle took place. Couldn't rejoice. In fact, here was a man now that had been lame for a number of years, and now he could rise up and walk. They couldn't be happy about it because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. So, controversy takes place here. Look down at verse 14. After when Jesus finding him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Jesus is not going to make things better as far as the Jews are concerned when he speaks about God being his Father. He said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Find the same thing in John chapter 10, when the Lord Jesus Christ declares he is the good shepherd of the sheep. He says, The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I have given them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which giveth them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And the Jews picked up stones to stone him. And the Lord said, For what good work do you stone me for? They said, For a good work we stone thee not. But because thou hast claimed equality with God, because thou being man hast made thyself God. As I've said many times, it was not Christ was not a man who made himself God. He was God who made himself man. God Almighty became man in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. They picked up stones to stone him because he made himself equal with the Father. Same thing happens here in John chapter 5. Then the Lord said in verse 20, For the Father loveth me, or loveth the Son, and showeth him all things, and himself doeth. Now the Father shows all things to the Son that he did. And he says, And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. Now here a great work has been done, without a doubt. Here's a man that was lame. Here's a man that was sick. Here's a man who'd been there for a long period of time. Couldn't get in the water. Couldn't be healed. And Christ comes along and miraculously heals him. A great work has been done. They have witnessed a great work. But Jesus says, Greater works than these shall be showed you. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Just a short time after this, the Lord Jesus Christ will exercise his power over death when he shall raise Lazarus from the grave. I'd say that's probably a greater work than healing the man, raising somebody from the dead. At least in the minds of the people, that would be a greater work. You know, a miracle is a miracle. Neither one can be done without the miraculous intervention of God. But our Savior, he says, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. How marvelous is that, that the Father showed the Son all things that the Father has done. But he says, greater things shall be done and shown even than that. Let's go to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we're just in that chapter concerning Christ being the good shepherd of the sheep. We come to verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me. Isn't it wonderful to be able to tell people that your Father loves you? I've got a father to be 85 years old next Friday. And I don't have any doubt in my mind he loves me. He's shown it over and over and over again in my lifetime. He has proven it time and time and time again that he loves me. The Lord has blessed Karen and I with 4 children, 3 sons. And I believe they all would tell you they have a father that loves them. I trust they would. And they have a father that loves them. The Lord Jesus Christ here says in John 10:17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Why did Christ come into the world? Well, they came for a lot of different reasons. But the primary thing that Christ came in the world for was to lay his life down on behalf of those that the Father had given unto him. That's why he came in this world. He came in this world to die. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he began his personal ministry at the age of 30, he had a time schedule that he was on. And for close to three and a half years, our Savior would teach and preach. Our Savior would do miracles. Our Savior kept the schedule that he had when he left heaven's pure world. And all that time, he was working his way to Calvary. Going to Calvary would not be a surprise to Christ. Being crucified would not catch the Lord Jesus Christ by surprise. Our Lord would go to Calvary willingly. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that prayer in such great agony. Father, be thy will, let this cup pass, but not thy will, that my will, but thy will be done. And he prayed it three times. And he sweated through great drops of blood. But I'm telling you, he was heading for Calvary. He was heading to Golgotha. He was heading to the cross. Our Lord came to lay down his life. And he laid it down. The Roman soldiers put the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, and they pierced his side with a sword. And the Roman army, Pilate, could have let him go. And the Jews themselves could have agreed with Pilate to have released him. But instead of releasing the Lord Jesus Christ, they released a murderer, a man by the name of Barabbas. And if there's ever been a demonstration of man's depravity, and certainly there are many of them, and many examples of man's depravity, and how the kind of choice that man would make, you ought to be able to see it in this decision made by the Jews. Barabbas is a picture of the most wicked kind of person that could ever live upon the face of the earth. He was guilty of sedition. He was a thief, and he was a murderer. I don't think you could describe anybody any worse than the Bible describes this man, Barabbas. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ is pure and perfect and harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is righteousness personified. The Lord Jesus Christ is sinless. The Lord Jesus Christ had no faults in him. Pilate testified to that fact. I find no fault in him. There was no fault to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ if an honest examination was found. All the Jews found fault. We've already found that in John 5 and John 10. They found fault that he healed on the Sabbath day. Isn't it amazing once again that the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke the world into existence, was the creator of all those Jews? He was their creator, yet they railed on him. They despised him. They rejected him. They opposed him. And we find here where they now are against him because he healed on the Sabbath day. They found a lot of fault with the Lord Jesus Christ, but nothing that was legitimate, nothing that was really honest, because Pilate said, I have looked him over, I've examined him, and I find no fault in him. Christ voluntarily laid down his life. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. The Lord Jesus Christ had that power. Again, the one who gave life in the very beginning, he had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to take it again. There are other verses of Scripture that will tell you that the Father raised the Son from the dead, and that's true. But the Son also raised himself from the dead, because God the Father and God the Son were in perfect unity and perfect harmony. 1 John 5:7, these three bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Again, Jesus said in John chapter 10, I and the Father are one. Our purposes are the same. Our will is the same. Our good pleasure is the same. Whatever the Father thinks, the Son thinks. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ said, I got power to lay down my life. I got power to take it again. And because of that, my Father doth love me. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Again, I make reference to Matthew 26:53. When in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find where Peter draws his sword in defense of the Savior, cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Our Lord rebukes Peter. Peter is his disciple. Peter is his friend. The enemy is the one there with his ear laying on the ground. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes that ear and puts it back on his head and heals him miraculously. A display of his power, a display of his mercy, a display of his compassion. A display of who he really was. You're going to find that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power to lay down his life and power to take it, and no man taketh it from me. But Christ will allow them to take him from the Garden of Gethsemane and go through the mock trials that he went through. He will allow them to take him all the way up Golgotha's hill. He will allow them to put him on a cross and nail him to the cross, put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and raise that cross up. He will allow them to crucify him and hang him there on that cross. But I'm saying he had power to lay down his life. John 19:30, the Lord Jesus Christ cries out, "It is finished." Our Savior bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And he cried with a loud voice. Everything that Christ had been through, for the average man, the normal man, he wouldn't have had any strength to cry out with a loud voice. It would all have been taken from him. But our Lord was still in total control. I can assure you that. He was in total control. And he cries aloud, "It is finished." This is not a picture of defeat. This is a picture of victory. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to meet death, and he met it. It was victorious over it. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to meet Satan, and he met him. It was victorious over him. Hebrews chapter 2, finally verse 14, where the writer tells us that Christ came and he took upon himself not the nature of angels, by the way, but the seed of Abraham. See, the nature of an angel is different than the nature of a human being. And Christ didn't come to save angels. He came to save people. So therefore, he took not upon himself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, coming through the lineage of Abraham. He had a body of flesh and blood, just like you and I do. Yet it was a body without sin. Had no sin nature in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with honor and glory, that he might taste death for every man. Jesus Christ came to meet death, and he met it. He came to meet the devil, and he met him. And he emerged victorious over death, the grave, hell, Satan, and this world in which we live right here. I'm telling you, when Christ cried aloud, "It is finished," it was an expression of victory. Cried with what kind of voice? A loud voice. Showing he still had strength. He was still in total control. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When men die, they give up the ghost and then they bow the head. They give up the ghost, lose total control. But our Lord bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And he cried to the Father, you know, to commend his spirit in the hands of the Heavenly Father. I'm telling you, he was in total control. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Father loved the Son, hath committed all things in his hand. The Father loveth the Son, and has showed him all things. Therefore the Father doth love the Son, because he had power to lay down his life and power to take it again. He said, "Lay down my life, and I take it again." Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, reading a chapter here in which Christ declares in the very beginning he's the true vine. He says, "My Father's a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth it, that it might bring forth more fruit." Here we're talking about discipleship. And discipleship is all about bringing forth fruit. As a disciple in Jesus Christ, as a child of grace, it should be our desire, certainly our responsibility, to bring fruit unto God. Notice what he says. He works through these verses here. We come on down to verse 5 and 6. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." He speaks about fruit and more fruit and then much fruit. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What does that tell you tonight? What does that tell me? As the Father hath loved the Son, so he's loved us. He loves us just like the Father loves him. Now, can you imagine the Father never loving his Son? Can you imagine God the Father never loving God the Son? I don't think that could possibly come into your mind tonight, that there ever be a time when God the Father would not love his beloved Son in this world. that he would not love his beloved son that lived here for 33 and a half years, 20 centuries ago, that walked the shores of time? Did Christ ever think anything that would diminish that love? Christ ever say anything to diminish that love? Christ ever do anything to diminish that love? You think the love of the Father to the Son ever went down in degrees, was ever diminished? I'm telling you no tonight. The very love that the Father has for the Son today is the very love he's had for the Son in all eternity past. And he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What a powerful statement that is. Continue, therefore, in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The testimony of your love for God is the fact that you keep his commandments. You know, love involves feeling, but it also involves the will. That's why sometimes people will tell you they love you and you don't believe it. Because you know the actions don't indicate it. I think it's important we tell each other we love one another, but it's even more important that we prove it. And you prove your love for the Lord Jesus Christ by keeping his commandments. Remember this man a long time ago, right there, joined the church, speaking to my father and I. And in the conversation, he says, "Nobody loves the Lord any more than I do." You know, that's a bold statement. But I knew he wasn't a member of the church. And after it was over, I told my father, I said, "I don't quite understand this. He just said nobody loves the Lord any more than he does, and you're a member, and I'm a member. We've been baptized. We made a profession of faith. He's never been baptized, never made a profession of faith, not a member of the church. How is it he loves the Lord as much as we do?" The testimony of your love for Christ, you keep his commandments. That you do what he says do. You follow his word in every detail of life. Oh, it's easy to say, "I love the Lord." I just said it. Didn't require any effort to say that, but I hope I meant it. Anybody can say that. But see, love is more than feeling. Love is more than emotion. Love involves the will. That's why you read over here when Paul writes to Timothy how to address the aged women. And those aged women are to teach the younger women. What's one of the things that they teach them? To love their husbands. They're not saying you need to have this real fuzzy-wuzzy feeling for your wife or husband. I hope there's some feeling in love, don't you? Oh, it's wonderful to have the feeling that's associated with love. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if that's all the love I've got for my wife and my family and for you is just words, then you don't have much love coming from me. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciple. You have love one to another, not for another, but to another." That means you're giving it away. You're displaying it. You're manifesting. It's flowing from breast to breast and heart to heart. Love is more than feeling, brethren. Love is also an act of the will. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. What do you think is meant by that? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. He just said, "Husband, now you need to have some feelings for your wife." Well, certainly you do. But you think that's as far as he was going with that? You think that was all he meant? You just need to have this, love, you know, this feeling, you know, that you call love? No, I think he's going further than that. Husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how he proved he loved you. He gave himself for you. And that's how you prove you love anybody else. When you lay down your life for somebody else, you then prove and you love them. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said once again. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love." How do we know the Son loved the Father? Now, when you're talking about the Father's love for the Son, how do you know the Son loved the Father? Because he kept his commandments. Do you think there was any commandment the Son didn't keep of the Father? The Son kept every commandment of the Father and proved for 33 and a half years that he loved his heavenly Father that sent him here into this world. And the Father in heaven loved his Son he sent into this world. All that great love between the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father. And Christ proved his love for the Father because he always kept the Father's commandments. And that's how you prove you love the Lord Jesus Christ, is because you're willing to follow the instructions of God's word in every detail of your life. Somebody says, "You know, I love you, And then I know they're not following what God's Word teaches. They haven't convinced me. People convince me they love me and they love our church when they do what God tells them to do in His Word. That's when you've convinced me that you really love me. That's when you convince me you really love the Lord's church. It's when you're willing to follow the details of God's Word for every detail of your life. And Jesus Christ followed the details of the Father's will in every detail of His life. And therefore, during the length of time He spent here on this earth, there could be no question the Father loved the Son and the Son loved the Father. Go to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, we find a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ called the High Priestly Prayer of the Savior. He prays this prayer just a very short time before going to Calvary. This is a wonderful prayer. He broke it up. Many sermons can be preached from this prayer here. He starts off by saying, "These words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come, glorify Thy Son. Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." What a statement that is. Somebody said, "Brother Lawrence, do you know how many people are going to be in heaven?" I cannot give you the numerical count, but I can tell you it's all the Father gave to the Son, because that verse just told me that. That verse just told me that. "As Thou hast given Him power of all flesh, and He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." I want to come toward the latter part of this prayer, John chapter 17. Come down to verse 24. Christ says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am." What a wonderful thought that is. That Christ is praying to the Father that all He hath given unto the Son is going to be where He's at. "That they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world." How long has the Father loved the Son? He's loved Him before the foundation of the world. "O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me, and I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." We've already spoken back here where He says, "As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you." And now Christ prays here that the Father will love those He gave Him just like He loved Him. And how did He love the Son? He loved Him even before the foundation of the world. It's kind of difficult to preach without making some reference before the foundation of the world. It really is. And the reason for that is because so much happened to God's people before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, before time ever began, God foreknew His people, loved His people, chose His people, elected His people, named His people, and gave His people to His Son in a covenant relationship. And here the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He has loved you just like He's loved Me, and He loved Me before the foundation of the world." Here are five references in John's Gospel where we are told that the Father has loved the Son. But they all relate to us as well. They all involve us tonight. John chapter 3, verse 35. "Father hath loved the Son and hath given all things in His hands." John chapter 5. "The Father hath loved the Son and showed Him all things." John 10:17. "Therefore doth the Father love Me, because I laid down My life that I might take it again. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it. No man taketh it from Me." Our hope tonight would not be a hope at all if Jesus Christ hadn't laid down His life, if Christ hadn't come into this world and became the sacrifice on Calvary, if He didn't come and live and die the vicarious death, the substitutionary death, as He died there on Calvary, and His righteousness was imputed to the elect, and the sins of the elect was imputed unto Him, we'd have no hope tonight. We'd have no salvation tonight. But I'm telling you, you've got salvation. It's been secured because when Christ died on Calvary, your sins were charged to Him and His righteousness was charged to you. And then we look in John chapter 15, and He speaks about once again how the Father has loved the Son. "As the Father hath loved the Son, so the Son hath loved us." And in John 17, the Lord Jesus Christ prays to the Heavenly Father concerning those that the Father hath given unto Him. And He speaks about the Father loving them as the Father hath loved Him, and He loved Him from before the foundation of the world. I tell you, the love of God's wonderful, isn't it? How the Father loved the Son, how the Father loved the people He gave to the Son, how the Son loved the people the Father gave to Him, as willing to live for them and die for them, and how the Son loves us right now, is on the right hand of God making intercession for us, how He providentially watches over our lives on a daily basis. How he directs us, how he guides us, how he protects us, how he furnishes us with everything we stand in need of. No wonder when Jacob came toward the end of his life, he would testify before Pharaoh, God had fed me all the days of my life. And then to think about our Savior again laying down his life for poor and worthy sinners. He had the power to lay it down, he had the power to take it again. No man took it from him. That's the most important subject in all the Word of God, is the death of Jesus Christ. And we see the kind of love the Father had for the Son and the Son for the Father. And the love that the Son has for his people, that he was willing to lay down his life on Calvary. Then we ought to put forth a greater effort to love one another as Christ also hath loved us.
252. 252. Hymn number 252 is selected. We'd like to...